George Parnham, a defense lawyer for Andrea Yates, put it this way in his closing argument on behalf of the Houston woman's insanity defense yesterday. He said, "If this woman doesn't meet the standard for insanity, nobody does. We might as well wipe it off the books." In less than 4 hours, the jury rejected her plea and convicted Andrea Yates of murdering three of her children. Which raises the question, is there any application at all of Texas law on the insanity defense? Dean Gerald Treese joins us from the South Texas College of Law in Houston. Gerald Treese, what do you have to show in a Texas courtroom to be acquitted by the insanity defense?
Texas is one of the hardest states in the union because in Texas, the affirmative defense of insanity requires the defense to prove that the defendant suffered from a mental illness or a mental defect which prevented them from knowing the difference between right and wrong. We make it very, very difficult because the Texas justices sort of believe that the insanity defense is sort of made up by lawyers to get people off from crime, and that it's not a good thing. That's sort of our attitude here.
Now, this is actually a more strict standard in Texas than it was until a couple of decades ago, I understand.
That's right. The attempted assassination of President Reagan and the subsequent finding of not guilty by reason of insanity by Mr. Hinckley led Texas specifically to change our law to where we now say that it's not enough that you didn't know the difference between right and wrong. You have to suffer from a mental illness or mental defect that robs you of your reason. And a person with psychosis or psychotic behavior, they know what they're doing is right and wrong, but it's in a separate universe. It's a right and wrong world that doesn't exist in reality. So we see where Texas, like some other states, just make it very difficult for a person to ever be found not guilty by reason of insanity.
Well, in the case of Andrea Yates, a woman who experienced hallucinations, delusions, suicide attempts, there was talk of hospitalization. She was convinced, I gather, that her children would be condemned to damnation if she didn't send them to heaven first. Seriously mentally ill, no one seemed to dispute. Not guilty seems a harder phrase for a jury to be asked to attach to her after her act. How does one reconcile the notion that there is a space in law for people who really are mentally ill when they commit a crime, and the fact that the crime might be so horrendous that 12 citizens might not want to let that person off in any way?
I think you asked the best question that one can ask in this area, because I think these jurors are looking at one of two choices, either guilty, which means she was not insane, or not guilty by reason of insanity, which the jurors think means acquittal. It doesn't in Texas, but the jurors never are told that a not guilty by reason of insanity means you're hospitalized for an indeterminate period of time. And my whole point is that as between those two choices, we should have a middle ground where a person can be guilty but doesn't need to be punished the same way that a person that does not suffer from psychotic behavior suffers.
The paradox, it seems, of trying to argue the insanity defense in a case like that of Andrea Yates is the nature of the crime is so extraordinarily horrific that it makes one that much more receptive to the idea that the person who did this must be insane. On the other hand, what mounts in favor of insanity on the other side of the scale is making it that much more difficult to in any way vote for anything other than guilty, because the crime is so horribly crazy.
I think you've also put your finger on something that may be sort of a deep, dark secret in the insanity defense area. The fact of the matter is, why should juries be the ones that make a determination that is essentially a medical question?
I mean, you're saying why wouldn't a panel of six psychiatrists do this instead?
Yes, or maybe the court itself, who is at least trained in knowing the law in medicine, make that call. But I think you have acts that are so horrific that society cries out for punishment, and a jury can echo what a community says. And so once you have jurors who are allowed to opine about questions of mental illness, then you add even another layer of confusion to an already confusing puzzle.
Well, Dean Treese, thank you very much for talking with us.
Robert, nice talking to you.
Gerald Treese is Associate Dean at the South Texas College of Law in Houston.